First Peter chapter 3, we'll begin with one verse. We'll read it and pray, and then we'll back up and we'll read some other things. First Peter chapter 3, look in verse 15. Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You can be seated tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We need you like, Lord, really, we've never needed you before, or like we've needed you all the time that we've stood to preach. And Lord, we certainly cannot do anything without you. And Lord, we just pray tonight that you'd come by and speak to heart. We pray that you would just help us while we might preach. Give us clarity of mind and clarity of speech tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd keep the devil at bay. Keep him far away. And Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that is lost, that you would save them. I bring them to that place of repentance that they'd trust you. And Lord, but you'd be honored in what we preach tonight, what we have to say. And Lord, again, I just ask you to help us help the one that has a need tonight. And let us see the importance and that of trying to get the Word of God out in these last days. Lord, and we really believe we're in the last of the last days. Help us tonight while we stand to preach. Give us unction from the Holy One. And we'll give you glory for it all. For this in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. I thought about this message, preaching it this morning. The Lord wouldn't give us liberty, and I believe he's given me liberty tonight to preach this out of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, where he says, "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now, in the first part of this chapter, he deals with husbands and wives, but as we get a little further on over in the chapter, he is starting to talk about suffering for doing well, suffering for doing good, and suffering for righteousness' sakes. And he tells us not to be afraid, but in the midst of our suffering and in the midst of our tribulation and our trials, he tells us to always be ready to give an answer to the hope that lies within us. If you don't have a hope tonight, you need to get saved. Amen. You need to come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Take your Bible and go to the book of Acts chapter 22 tonight. Acts chapter 22, let me get these scriptures read and we'll get to preaching tonight. Acts chapter 22, and we'll begin to read in verse 3. This is the Apostle Paul. He is before those Jews over there that really want to kill him. And in Acts chapter 22, look in verse 3. And Paul says, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received the letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and it shall be told thee all the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came unto Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Now, I know that was lengthy, but take your Bible and go to Acts 26. Acts 26 and look in verse 9. Acts 26 and verse 9. I'll give you a minute to get there. I hear Bible pages turning. I like that. Acts chapter 26 and verse 9. And I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And we see that there were some put to death for the cause of Christ. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even under strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So as we read in the book of 1 Peter, and he tells us to always be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason, the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. As I read the two times where the Apostle Paul got to tell his story and his testimony about what happened to him. And that's really what I want to preach on tonight, is what's your story tonight? I know that I've probably preached on this maybe one other time here and in revival I preached on it, but really couldn't escape it tonight. I begin to think about what's my story tonight? What do I have to tell? You know, I'm kind of like the Apostle Paul. He was on the road to Damascus. I had to be doing things that he shouldn't be doing. He wasn't looking for God. He wasn't wanting to find God. Thought he already had God. And then all of a sudden on that road, God showed up. Hey, ain't you glad for the day when God showed up? You might not have been looking for him, but I'll tell you tonight, God was looking for you. Ain't that wonderful tonight that God found you where you were tonight? But tonight, as we tell our story, every one of us, if we're saved, has a story to tell. Now, can I tell you tonight, it's all kind of going to be the same story. You know what the story is going to be tonight? I preached on a lot of it this morning when he said, be ready always. I'd have given an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Why do you have hope tonight? Why? What is your story tonight for you to have hope? Listen tonight, my story of having hope tonight is first of all is because Christ went to get crucified. Amen. Hey, can I tell you, without him having died, we preached on that all this morning. But listen, it is a story of crucifixion. Listen, we need to tell the world what Christ done for them. Amen. What they are without Christ and what they can have in Christ. Listen, there's a lot of folk hanging their hat and hanging their hope in politics tonight. And man, ain't it a mess? Amen. You can say amen right there for sure. But listen, my hope is not hanging in politics tonight. My hope is in Jesus Christ and the finished work of Calvary. Amen. Listen, I'm glad of what he done. And there's why I'm saved tonight. It's because I trusted his work. Amen. But listen tonight, what are we telling folk? What are we telling folk? Paul said, for I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. You know what you need to tell people? What Jesus has done. You just need to tell people what Jesus... You say, well, I'm backward preacher and I'm shy. Listen, you may be backward and shy, but you can still tell them what Jesus has done.
You can still tell them what Jesus done for you. Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, His servants. Your servants for Jesus' sake. He said, look, I don't preach anybody and anything but Christ Jesus the Lord tonight. That He came and that He suffered and that He bled and died. Boy, ain't that something tonight? That He shed His precious blood. Tell that story. He said, there's a song that says, oh no, the old story will never grow old. The old story will never grow old. You know, I've been preaching this story since I was 15 years old. I've been telling this same story over and over and over again. And listen, it is the story that still saves sinners, that Christ Jesus came. Why do you think I preached what I preached this morning? Listen, I preached that for two reasons. One, I really believe that's what the Lord wanted, but I wanted to see somebody come and get saved. Amen. I was convinced there was folk here that was lost. Listen, even before I got in the church house this morning, I was convinced God was going to have some lost folk in here. But look, our story ought to be one that there was a man came and bled and died for me and you so that we could be saved tonight. What was it we read this morning? Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He goes on to say much more than being what? Saved. Let me read that. What does Romans 5 and 9 say? I think I could get that memorized. It's a shorter verse than Romans 5 and 8. But what does he say? He says, much more than being now justified by His blood. We're now justified. When you got saved and you trusted Christ, by His blood you got justified. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. That's why I don't believe the church will go through the tribulation period. Amen. I'm not a tribulation period feller. I'm not a mid-tribber. I believe the church is leaving out of here when the last trump sounds. We'll be gone and it'll usher in the tribulation period. Amen. I believe that's what's going to happen. What's the story we ought to be telling? The story of a crucifixion, of a crucified Savior. A story of a risen Savior. Boy, He lives. We sing that old song sometimes out of the Redback book. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Sing out of the Blue book. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Man, think if you didn't have hope. Why are you going to get up in the morning? Why is there joy in your heart? Why is there something different about you? Brother Marvin was telling me, he said, where he works at, he said, we wear aprons where we work at. He works in a yarn type factory, in a carpet factory. His apron had some holes in it. Somebody said, well, do you want a new apron? And he said, no, it's still fine. Said his supervisor made this statement. Said everything about the West family is holy. Now, he was a little pun there on what he had. But that was a good testimony on them. I mean, his wife works there, his son works there, and Brother Marvin works there. And to say that everything about that family that they know and see is holy, that's a pretty good testimony. That's a pretty good testimony when folk that you work with, I see that you live a holy life. Listen, tonight it is a story of crucifixion that we ought to be telling. Then you ought to tell about how that God come by your way one day. You ought to tell them about how, just like with the Apostle Paul, and by the way, Paul told that story. We see it in Acts 9, we see it in 22 and 26, and I believe he told that story everywhere he went. He told what Christ Jesus done for him. But it was a story of conviction. Do you have a story of conviction? Where you got under conviction. Now, listen, and conviction works many different ways, and a lot of people, they tie emotions to conviction, and a lot of times it is that way. I won't deny that. Well, I tell you, when you get under the burden of sin and realize that you're dying lost, it does get an emotional thing right there. Boy, especially when God convicts you of it and shows you what's going on, and you get broke down. Well, how many of you ever got broke down? You know, come get saved, you got to get broke down. I mean, you just got to see Him for who He is and you for what you've done and how you've offended God and just the need to get saved. But it's one of conviction. Boy, tell the story. I remember the night that I got saved.
As you all have heard me say, and listen, it's no great grand story for a lot of things for folk to hear, I guess. But all I know is I was in a Baptist church. I wasn't looking for God that night. I wasn't expecting Him to come by that night. But you know what? He did. And found me sitting on the back row on the left-hand side of the preacher. On the very outside, that's where I was. And I remember when they gave the invitation, well, God was a-squeezing on my heart. And boy, as he was a-dealing with me, I was a-dealing with Him. And you know what? You know what? I gave in and went and got saved. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't remember if God ever dealt with me prior to that. I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't remember. But I remember that night. I remember how He dealt with me and squeezed on my heart. And I went and got saved. Listen, it's a story of conviction. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He said, "If any man will hear my voice and will open the door," he said, "I'll come in and sup with him and he with me." And so he knocks on your heart. How many of you remember when Jesus knocked on your heart? You might have been a little boy, a little girl, might have been grown, I don't know, anything and anywhere in between when he knocked on your heart. But do you remember trusting him, asking him to save you? Said, "Lord, forgive me my sin. I just want to get saved." I remember when I came and got saved. That's all I asked Him was to save me. I didn't know to do anything else. I didn't. I just remember begging Him to save me. And I believe He did tonight. Amen. Hey, listen, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief, Paul said. And God convicted him of his sin and brought him to that place of salvation. You know, God's convicting hand can get heavy. David talked about it in Psalms 32, and he sinned for day and night. "Thy hand was heavy upon me." Well, I'm going to tell you, for the child of God who gets in sin and does sin and does not want to get right with it, you know what will happen? God's hand will get heavy on us, won't it? You ever been estranged from God? You ever had some things in your life? Let me ask you this. You ever just had something in your life that you really didn't want to give up, or that you needed to give up, or you needed to deal with, and you really just didn't want to deal with it? And you know what? The Holy Spirit's so sweet and so good that He just keeps coming by and He just keeps dealing with us about that thing. But you know what? When we get to where we tell, you know, there comes a fine line in there somewhere where when we tell God that we're not going to serve. It's one thing to come to church and God deal with us about things, and we're trying to serve Him and He's trying to work some things out in our life. You understand what I'm saying? You know, he that brings forth fruit, He purgeth it. And that's what He said in John 15. We read that before we got started tonight. Remember that? You know, there's things in our life that God wants to purge out of our life. We may not want to quit them or give them up or fix them or make them right, whatever it is. But you know, as we come, God still deals with us. You know, there's some people, they get away from God. They get away from God. You know what God will begin to do? He'll begin to work on them. He'll begin to get His hand heavy upon them. And I believe in Psalms 32, this may have been a time in David's life. Listen, when God was against him for the sin that he committed, and that with Bathsheba, not only that, but in that the murder and that of Uriah, and God was beginning to deal with him. And he said, "It is heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer." You ever been there? You ever been in a drought? I remember back in the 80s, man, it was cold in the winter and dry in the summer. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember the 80s? Man, it didn't rain for a long time. Not here. I remember going to church and having prayer meeting just for rain. I remember that. You know, I don't remember nobody carrying an umbrella. Y'all catch that just here in a minute. They said there's a time, there's an older lady that done that and said she took an umbrella to church and meant it when she prayed, and they said it showered on her farm that night. Don't know if that's true or not, but that sounds pretty good. That sounds just like God, ain't it? Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you, get under conviction. I do remember that morning. I thought about this just the other day. I do remember that morning. I got saved that night. I remember there was an evangelist come through that morning, and Brother Virgil Turbyfield, I remember him preaching on hell. I remember that. Now, I don't know when God began to stir in my heart and deal with things. I don't know about all that. But listen, I know that somewhere in that day, he began to deal with me. And listen, and when God shows you the fear, gives you the fear and convicts you, and you get fear in that of hell and judgment, you'll want to do something about where you're at. It's a story of conviction. You know, grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. I thought about the Philippian jailer as he was just about to leave out of this world lost. Remember, God shook the foundation of the prison, door swung open, and when he woke out of his sleep, he thought all the prisoners was gone. And as he was going to kill himself with his own sword, Paul cried out, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And the Bible said, then he called for a light and sprang in, came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." I believe the boy got under conviction. I believe he got under conviction. I mean, he come in there, he fell down before them trembling. Why Paul and Silas? Why them? Reckon he had heard them sing and pray before midnight. Bible said the prisoners heard them. I kind of wonder if the guards didn't hear them too. Reckon what they were singing. I always wonder about that sometimes. Reckon what they were singing. I bet it's pretty good. Reckon what they were praying. Reckon they were in there praying, "Lord, save that main jailer out there. We sure would like to get out of prison, and if you'd save him, he'd let us know. But reckon, Lord, save that main jailer out there because he's dying and going to hell." Think about it for just a second. Reckon they were praying, "Lord, thank you for this day. Even though we're in prison tonight, you sure have been pretty good to us, and we ain't got no room to complain about nothing, even though we're in prison." But I'm going to tell you, that'd make a difference in the jailer's life, wouldn't it? Think about it for just a second. Somebody sees the distress and the trouble that you're going through, and maybe you're on the job and they know a little bit about your life, and they know that you're in tribulation and trials and your life is kind of just in disarray, and you sit down and you pray over your food and they hear a little prayer that maybe you pray, "Lord, I just want to thank you for the day. You sure have been pretty good to me." They sometimes, the only time I get to witness is when somebody will ask me to pray, and so I get to praying and preaching and witnessing all at the same time. If I really get wound up, I'll get to hacking while I'm praying. Amen. But it's a story of conviction. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. When did you get brokenhearted? Well, tell folk. Let me tell you what Jesus done, but let me tell you what he done for me. Let me tell you about the night or the day that he came to where I was and found me in my sin. And he knocked on my heart so sweetly and said, "Why don't you come and get saved?" And then tell them about praying. Tell them about the supplication that you had with the Lord, that all you done was had to pray from the heart and asked him to save you. I'm talking about what is your story tonight. We've all got something to tell. You remember what it was? Let me see, in Mark chapter 5, you remember after he saved Legion over there and cast all them devils out of Legion and cast them into that swine. And you remember he had him clothed and in his right mind and seated over there. And you know what he wanted to do? He wanted to go be with Jesus. Well, ain't that something? It said when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and have had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Jesus said, "You can't go with me, but you can go home and you can tell them what I've done for you. You go tell them the story of where I found you at. You go tell them the story." Hey, listen, me talking to somebody about being a 14-year-old boy in a Baptist church may not ring a bell with some people, but it's going to ring a bell with some others. And the story that you've got to tell is going to ring a bell with some other people. Because you know what? They're going to find themselves in a place where they need Christ. And it's a story where, you know what he done? He just got Jesus, saved him, and he said, "Go home and tell them what I done for you. Just go home and tell them how great I've been to you." It's a story of prayer, supplication, but it's a story of conversion. Let me tell you how Jesus changed me.
Let me tell you what it was. You know, Paul told a little bit about what he was. Talked about what he done. You remember, you go back and you look at what I read you out of Acts 22 and Acts 26. Paul told a little bit about what he was. But then he began to tell about what Jesus done for him and how he changed him. As a matter of fact, if you go back, I believe it's in Acts 22 or Acts chapter 9, excuse me. You'll find out that after them 3 days, after them scales fell off and he ate something, the Bible said that he was baptized and he went out and he immediately preached that Christ Jesus was the Son of God. He began to preach. He had a story to tell. I mean, you've got a story to tell tonight. Talk about the conversion. Let me tell you what it was, but let me tell you really what I am now. I don't mind people telling what they were before Christ. Just don't get to bragging about what you was. You ever heard some people, they talk about more about what they're seeing that they were in before they got saved than what Jesus done for them after they got saved. The story of conversion. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. He immediately changes us. Changes us from the inside. But you know what? There's something that begins to take place from the inside out. And you know, as we begin to grow, you know, the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2, he said, desire the sincere milk of the word. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So something happens. You know, I don't ever remember trying to read my Bible before I got saved. But you know, I really can remember trying to read my Bible after I got saved. Didn't do a real good job at it. Struggled with it. Even after I announced my call to preach, I was still struggling to read my Bible. Some of y'all got the same problem. And you know, even today, I still struggle to read my Bible. It's a little tough some days, ain't it? To find time, you're tired, your eyes are heavy. My wife has said many times after I've come out of the study, she said, did you have a good nap while you were in there? You know why? Because she heard me snoring in there. She did. I mean, a lot of times I'll either be leaned up on, you know, I've got that desk in there and I've leaned up on it and I'm leaned over my Bible and I've got my hands up on my face and I have fell asleep or I've leaned back in the chair and I mean, my neck's all stretched out and I'm sleeping. I don't know what it is about trying to read the Bible and you just want to go sleep. But you know, as we begin to grow in Christ, there becomes not only a conversion because of salvation, but there comes a conversion because of growth. And that's where a lot of Christians have failed, is they've never really had any growth in their life. He said in Ephesians chapter 4 that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And if you go on and read the rest of that, he'll tell you how to do it. But he said that you do that. You do those things. If you're not saved tonight, you're probably not concerned about changing. If you're carnal tonight, you're not concerned about changing. But if you're saved tonight and want to be a Christian, a good Christian, a true Christian, once sold out to the Lord, then you want to please Him and you're going to want to change what's wrong in your life. If there's never been a change, then chances are there's never been salvation. That's where a lot of people fail. Isaiah chapter 4, he said, and in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. There's a lot of people want to carry the name of Christian just to say that they're a Christian. But it don't work that way. It's got to be a story of conversion. Got to be a change. Let me tell you how the Lord changed. Sister Kathy, I always loved to hear your daddy tell his testimony. I did. And whether it was in church or whether it was just me and him standing out in town together, I guess that's the first time I'd ever heard your daddy tell his testimony. We were just standing in town. It was just, he began to talk about being up around Telco and trying to come from the bootlegger, and they's over on the other side of town, over on the street, and him trying to hide that liquor, and them a singing heaven down, he said, out there on the street corner. I love to hear them stories. You know, that's all he would ever say about how much bad in his life, because he'd always want to brag on the Lord what he'd done. I always get excited about hearing what God's done for somebody else. I was just an older gentleman the other night. He'd been saved for 54 years, and God had called him to preach. He got saved in the 60s, and about 62, and now he's called to preach in 1964. And he was just telling his testimony about how God saved him. He said he got tricked into going to a watch night service at a church, and I believe it was in 62. He had two brothers. One was having a party, and the other one was having a watch night service where he pastored at. And he said, I got invited to both of them. And he said, and I'll make a long story short, but he said, I went to that first one. We were sitting there playing cards. And he said, he poured me a little drink there. And he said, I got ready to drink it. Said, my wife put her hand on my arm and said, now you promised your other brother that you was going to go to church tonight. And said, do you want to go to church with liquor on your breath? And he said, that just made him mad at that point. And he said, we got up and went out the back door, and he said, I run them old roads up there, and I believe it was in West Virginia, and fast as I could. Said she wanted to go to church. That's what I was telling her. We're going to go to church. That's what we're going to do. And said, finally got there, and said, got on the outside pew about three rows back. He said, that was a good place for me to be. That way they could just push me out in the aisleway. And to make a long story short, he said, I got saved that night. All of us have got a story to tell. It's going to start the same way. Jesus come by because he died for us at Calvary. But then, you know, it may change a little bit. I was in church or vacation Bible school or tent meeting at home. But we've all got a story to tell. Where did God find you at? Where did he find you at? I'm glad I've got a story to tell. Real. What about your story? What about your story now? He said, be ready. He said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You say, I'm backward. Just tell what the Lord done for you. That's it. Let me tell you how he saved me. Got under conviction, went to the altar, and the Lord saved me. I asked him to save me. I believed in my heart that he could. Preacher, is it really that simple? It is really that simple. Salvation is that simple tonight. Let's bow our heads. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed tonight. Get us just a little music there, Jacob. If you've never been saved, and you don't have a story to tell, but church, let me say this tonight. If you've been saved, you've got a story to tell.